you. I have so much to be thankful for today, and I'm excited to get in the Word with you today. And there's so many things stirring in my spirit that I want to share with you. And I just believe God is stirring in this house. What I started hearing this morning was the prayers of Hannah. And I started hearing her desire for a child, her desire to have a child, and how that she cried out before the Lord, how she was discontented with where she was at in life. Have you ever just been discontented where you're at in life? Like, you know there's more, you know there's something else, there's something that God wants to do in you, wants to do in your family, wants to do through your church, but you just don't feel content with what situation as it is. My prayer today is I've stepped here on this ground that if you are not discontented, that you have a holy discontent that rises up in you today. But you start crying out for something more to be done, not only in our lives, but in this generation. This generation has a need of you, has a need of us. And I've come today to not only stir you up, to activate you, to propel you to contend for a generation. We see Hannah, she takes herself into the temple and she cries out to God for a child. She was not content the way life was going. She was not content with what was happening in her life. She needed something else to happen. And I believe that holy fervor that stirred within her produced the prophet Samuel because of her crying out to the Lord. And I believe as we cry out to the Lord, hello, my beautiful friend. I'm so glad to see you. Glory to God. I believe as we cry out to the Lord, as we are uncontent with what we're seeing in this generation, as we're uncontent with what we're seeing in our families, in our nation, in the world, that God will stir us to come to the altar and cry out for a move. Let it begin with us first. Let it begin in our hearts and our minds. May we cry out because we're not content with where we're at in life, because we need more. We need more of God in us. And we need more of God in this generation. Amen. But God is looking for a people, right? I believe he stirred in Hannah for that desire. I believe he stirred in her for a desire to have a child and to cry out to the Lord. I believe God is stirring in his people today, and he's saying, I want you to be stirred up to trust me and believe me for something more. Now, it doesn't matter whether you've had a child in the natural or not. You have the ability to birth and contend for a nation. So this message is not just to the mamas who have children naturally, but God is calling you as mothers and fathers to birth children spiritually, to contend for a nation, to contend for a people, that people are awakened to the gospel of Jesus Christ, the good news, the good message, that people are awakened to his healing, his miracles, his signs, his wonders, that we don't want to just do church as usual. I'm not interested in just doing church as usual. I've been in church most all my life. There was just a small time that I wasn't, and I was not with the Lord at that time. But God called me back. Chris and I rededicated our lives to the Lord when we got married. And it's been a path ever since, 33 years later. And I'm thankful for that. But I'm telling you, I don't want to do church as usual. I am thankful to be, I've been young and now I'm older. And I'm thankful for every stage and every age. But even at this age, I have to fight to keep the holy fervor, to keep the fire burning in me so it doesn't go out. Because it's not about me, but it's about my children and my children's children and about their children, about our nation, about the people around us. I don't want to be satisfied with church as usual, where we make the traditions of men and we rob the power because we have made traditions of men more important than the power of God. You know, we can do that. I have been guilty of that. These are things that I've had to talk to myself about. I've had to break off religion, off my mind, off my spirit, where I'm just not checking a box of reading my word and going to church, but may I have a holy fervor to serve a God who is able to intervene on my behalf. May I be stirred up to believe God for an outpouring of his spirit in my life, in my family, in this generation, and in this house. Won't he do it? Won't he visit us again? Won't he visit us again? I believe we're in a beautiful move of God right now. I'm seeing so many things happen. So many baptisms and rededications to the Lord and salvations and people being stirred up to serve the Lord. And I believe he's doing it again in our generation. And I'm saying, God, don't pass me by, because I want to be a part of it. I want to be right on the edge. I want to be in the thick of the middle of it. I don't want to be back here watching it. I want to be part of it. And that's what I want to tell you, is that at every age and every stage, you have a capacity to be a part of what God is doing. I thought about what Ms. Dolores said a little while ago of pray. That is a prophetic dream. That's a word for us. Teach your children to pray. Teach them the word of God. Teach the children to call on the name of Jesus, and how when you call on the name of Jesus, every knee must bow. Every principality must come down. Every stronghold must come down when you call on the name of Jesus. Teach your children to stand in the authority that Jesus has given us as believers. He said, I have given you all authority. So that means no matter where you're at, no matter what you face, you have been given an inheritance from God to have authority. Now, what happens is many times we don't know that we have authority, or we don't believe we have authority, and both of those things will cancel out the authority. Amen. So we got to know we have authority. We got to believe we have authority, and we've got to walk in that authority. The authority is in the scriptures. Okay. It's when you pray the word of God. It's when you declare the word of God. It's when you confess the word of God. It's when you shift your thinking, you shift your verbiage, and you speak the word of God over your family, over this house, that things begin to shift and things begin to happen. It's because of the word of God. And so we teach our children to pray. We teach them to love Jesus. I'm thinking about the scriptures that talk to us about mothers, older women, teach the younger women how to love their husbands and love their children. Isn't it funny that we have to be taught that, on how to love? On how to love? There's a pure love that's from God. And he teaches us how to be a parent. He teaches us how to conduct ourselves. But we are to train and teach the next generation how to pray, how to love their husbands, how to love their children, how to walk in the anointing, how to call on the name of Jesus when you're in trouble. Many times, as my boys were rambunctious growing up and riding four-wheelers and doing things like that, and they would be outside, I did not want to be motivated by fear, because a spirit of fear is not something God has given us, right? He has given us the power of a sound mind and peace in our mind. And he's given us the ability to walk by faith. So when they were out doing things that made me nervous, and immediately you have those wicked imaginations that want to creep up in your mind, I'm teaching you something, so listen to me, okay? Because there's many times you're going to have a wicked imagination come up in your mind about yourself, your family, whatever. You take it captive. And immediately I would plead the blood of Jesus over them. I'd be like, not today in Jesus' name. I plead the blood of Jesus over them. You protect them. You go before them. You know, you'd have them wearing their little helmets, and they didn't like that. And when they got out of my sight, they would drive crazy on those little dirt bikes and four-wheelers. As long as I wasn't looking, I never knew what they were going to be doing. But here's the deal. You plead the blood of Jesus over your children. You plead the blood of Jesus over yourself when you have a wicked imagination creep up. You plead the blood of Jesus. In the blood is the power. In the blood is redeeming. In the blood is where our help comes from. The cleansing, the washing of the water of the word. The blood is where the power is at. So you call on the name of Jesus, and you call on his blood to save you, redeem you, help you, in Jesus' name. Amen. So Hannah contended for something because she was not content with what she had. She was contending for a baby, and that baby became a prophet, a mighty prophet of the Lord. You know, I always thought it was funny that she took that child and left it with a priest who was a terrible parent. We were talking about that this week, wasn't we? If you know anything about that priest, he had two sons that were wayward. They were doing nothing right. And she's like, hey, by the way, here's my son. I'm just leaving with you. Now, that's, God told her to do that. And she had to trust the Lord in that. Because I can't imagine dropping off my child with a priest who had two sons like he did. Because I would be, worried that my sons would come out like those sons who were doing all the evil things. But yet God used that. She dropped off her son with him out of faith, out of a response to a covenant she had made with God. And she allowed that priest to raise her son. And it's funny, you know, when Samuel learned to hear the voice of God, he thought someone else was calling his name, didn't he? He heard his name mentioned, but he didn't know it was God. But he learned to hear the voice of God in that house. He learned to incline his ear to the Lord and hear what God was saying. And it's important that we hear the voice of the Lord. More important that we hear the voice of the Lord than we hear what media says, what the news say, what our neighbors say, what everyone else says around us. It's more important that we hear God's voice. When you know, I'm always think about television, and you watch television for a few minutes and you see tons of pharmaceutical companies advertising how sick you're going to be this year. And I'm like, don't partner with that. Don't partner with that. Don't believe for that. Don't believe for that. Plead the blood of Jesus over you. Plead the blood of Jesus over your mind. Don't receive that. Don't receive that. Because it's more important that I incline my ear to what God is saying. And God says, by his stripes, we are healed, right? By his stripes, we are healed. Healing is our portion as the children of God. Jesus paid for it. So we have to receive it. We have to walk in it. We have to believe it. We have to mix the word with faith, or it accomplishes nothing in our lives. It is pointless to pray the word, confess the word, speak the word, if you're not mixing it with faith. Faith is the component that makes that word germinate, makes that word become active, makes it sharp and threshing instrument in your hand and in your mouth. It's what makes it powerful, is mixing it with faith. So you pray the word, you speak the word. And as Hannah cried out to the Lord, she cried out in such fervency that they didn't even know what she was saying. They accused her of being drunk in the middle of the day. And she said, no, I'm contending for something here. I'm believing for something here. There's many times when you're praying something over your family or over this generation that everybody else may think you're crazy. It may look nuts. It may look hopeless. It may look like it's a mess. The promise hasn't came. You're older. You haven't had that child. The spiritual children that you do have may be not living for the Lord, but you're contending for something. And you continue to pray and contend for a move of God in your family. There's something about Hannah's prayer that provoked the Spirit of God to birth a prophet in this generation. It's exactly what we have need of, is prophets and men and women of God who will contend for this nation, contend for the nations, to go out into the nations and accomplish God's will. Amen. So Hannah contended for something. She was not going to be content for not having a child. She desired a child, and she prayed, and she trusted the Lord in that. You know, if you read, continue to read about Hannah, and the story of Hannah, actually, this is not even what my sermon was today, just by the way. Holy Spirit dropped this morning. So it's 1 Samuel. You need to go there and read about Hannah, and I want you to think about the things I'm saying. 1 Samuel 2 is where Hannah prayed before the Lord, and it says, in anguish and bitterness of soul, she cried out to the Lord. Do we have people that will contend for a generation? Who will be anguish and contend for a generation? In anguish, may you go to the garden of prayer and pray for transformation in our families, in our nation, in our churches, in our lives. Let it begin with me. Amen. May we go before God's throne and be so discontented with ourselves first that we're ready to be transformed by his Spirit and by his word. And so she went to the Lord, and she was discontent with what she had. As you read on and you realize that Samuel was given to the priest and he was given there to raise, you know, she visited him every year and brought him a new coat. I think it's so symbolic of a prophetic mantle that was on him. that every year she gave him a new coat for that generation, for that season of his life. You know, as mothers and as fathers, it's important that we recognize seasons on someone's life. That we recognize that they need a new mantle. They need a new encouragement. They need a fresh word from the Holy Spirit. They need us to go before the throne and ask the Lord for a word for your child. Because they need a new mantle in this season. And so, like I said earlier, it doesn't matter if you ever birth natural children. I'm telling you, God has called you to be a spiritual parent, to be a spiritual mother. Within you is the ability to crush the head of the serpent in your family in this generation. Because of Jesus and what he did, he gave us an ability to crush the head of the serpent in our lives. Amen. So you have the ability to pray, to call on God, and to crush the head of the enemy in your family. The generational curses stop with me. I break every power of the enemy off my life and off my family's life. Amen. We contend for our families, and we trust and believe God for their deliverance and salvation. Amen. Amen. So ask the Lord for a fresh word. Ask him for a fresh word for your family, for your children, for your daughters, for your sons, because it's important that they have a fresh mantle in this season. Whether, you know, when you're a mother, I remember the Lord talking to me about certain seasons of my children's lives. When they were young, it was one thing. I was to protect them. I remember even praying about going to Christian school. And I was like, Lord, you know, I'm saying this was the word to me. I'm not saying it's the word for everybody. I'm saying this is what the Lord showed me. He told me that my children were like small, tender plants and that I needed to protect them like a greenhouse in this season. You know, when you have small, tender plants that are just growing and just coming through the dirt, many times you put them in a protected space, if you know about gardens and gardening. And you want them to be protected from the storms and the wind and everything happening in the world. But then there's a time where you retransplant them, right? And you put them in a space and a place where they need to grow roots and they need to learn and they need to understand how to operate in the world. And I believe God shows us those different seasons in our children's life. And then it becomes a season of our children's life where we have to stand aside and just be a friend and love them and instruct them when we can and pour into them when we can. But it shifts and it looks different in every season. But what I'm telling you is it doesn't matter what your age is. You are needed as a spiritual parent in this generation to pour into the next generation. Your voice is important. Your prayers are important. Your words are important in their lives. And so I encourage you to speak to them, to love them in every season, to encourage them to run the race, to not beat them down or be critical of them, but to give them wings and blow on them and tell them you can do it. You can follow God. You can love him and you can be successful in all that your hand touches and all that you have. You can be blessed in this life. God loves to bless us. Amen. It is his desire to bless us. It is his desire to bless you. Amen. I want you to say with me, my soil is important. Your soil's important. What is our soil? It's the garden of our hearts. It's the garden of our hearts. You know, I was reading about, I love that I call her Nana, but Marion gave Miss Dolores the definition of mother because I was reading about that earlier one day before I did this message. I was reading about moms and how it's just a person who has authority who to nurture, to love, and to pour into the next generation. It's a person who can be hospitable. You have the ability to deliver, to protect a generation. You have the ability to crush the head of the enemy, to uproot, pull down, pull out, to build, to plant, to establish God's kingdom with his authority. You have the ability to have maternal tenderness or affection towards others, to produce something, to care for something, to protect like a mother. It's much more than giving birth, because it's a spiritual activation over our lives to produce something for the kingdom of God, to nurture it, to pray over it, to protect it. It's important that we all do our part. Amen. Every voice is needed, but it's a woman of authority. If you have the ability to mother, to gather, to produce, to pray, to cover, to bring to life, you have it at every stage and every age. It doesn't matter how old you are. This week, I was thinking about something, because I remember at one point in my spiritual walk, I was thinking to myself, where are the mothers? Where are the contenders? Where are they? And I know they're there, but you need to see them. You need to ask God to highlight them to you. And maybe you are one of those today. I pray that everybody else. But I was thinking about this book. Has anyone read this book? Are You My Mother? And you, this little bird, you know, he goes to every little animal and he's like, are you my mother? Are you my mother? Are you my mother? Because he's looking for his mama. I feel like we have a generation that's looking for mothers, that's looking for parents. And you may not look like them. You may not talk like them. You may not be like them. But you are called to mother. You're called to mother them. And so I encourage you to not think it's going to look a certain way, but to love every generation. One of the most beautiful things I find about meeting on Wednesday nights are women's Bible study. You're welcome to come if you don't have a service here. You probably have a service here. If you don't, come. It's important that you have a church house. Amen. It's important that you have a church house, that you be in a church. But on Wednesday nights, my church that we attend does not meet. So we meet at our space called The Haven. And what I love about that is that it is all generations. There's an importance to having the grandmothers, the mothers, the new mothers, the mothers that haven't had children yet, the single mothers, the young women that my granddaughter comes. So it's important that we all do life together. Women are needed to do life together. We sharpen one another. We pray for one another. We encourage one another. We strengthen one another. We speak into every generation. And it's not biased. It doesn't matter if you're old or young. Every voice is important. I learn from my daughters. Amen. I learn from my granddaughter. I learn from the older generation around me. You can learn something from anyone around you if you just ask the Lord to show you. Amen. You have the ability to learn something. So say, my soil is important. Say it again with me. Your soil is your heart, your spiritual heart. And when you read in Mark 4, he talks to us about, Jesus gave a parable. But what I thought was really interesting about the parable of the seed and the sower is that he told them, it has been given to you, in verse 11, to know the mystery of the kingdom of God. But to those who are outside, they come in parables. So he's saying, if you're a child of God's, then you have the ability to know the mysteries of God's. And there's things he wants to teach you, how to conduct your life, how to live your life, how to be a better person, how to be a better servant of the Lord's. He teaches us things, right? He wants to teach us. He wants to show you the mysteries of the kingdom. But he goes on to say, he talks about, do you not understand this in verse 13? Do you not understand this parable? How will you understand all of the parables? How can you understand anything if you don't know what this one parable means? I thought, wow, there's a key. Jesus is giving us a key to something very important here about the seed and the sower and what he wanted to show us and what he wanted to explain. But in this parable, it is a parable about our hearts and where the seed is sown and the responsibility we have as Christians to keep our heart fertile. Say, I want a fertile heart. I want a fertile heart. I don't want a heart that's hardened by the world, by traumas, by tribulations, by my doubt, my unbelief. I don't want a heart that's can't believe God for a miracle because all I've seen is bad. Like, we have to have hearts that are fertile for the word of God, that are tender, compassionate, ready to receive the word of God and believe the word of God and allow the Holy Spirit to water the word of God so that it can produce those things in us that it needs to produce. Amen. So we know in Mark 4 that he talks about the different types of hearts. And we have the wayside heart where the seed is sown, but it falls in the wayside. It falls in a place where the dirt is not prepared. It's not ready for the seed. It can't receive the seed. And so as it falls there, the Bible says in verse 15 that Satan comes immediately and takes what's been sown in the hearts of men, that he just snatches it up because there it's not infertile soil. It just kind of like, it almost reminds me of having a rain jacket on your heart. You're like, oh, that's a good word. It's gone. I've heard the word today, but not important. I've heard the word of God today, but I'm indifferent to it. I don't like who delivered that, how they delivered that. I didn't like their personality. They didn't say hi to me, so not receiving it. That's what we do. I've been guilty of that. I'm telling you things I've been guilty of is not hearing or receiving the word of God. We can get so caught up in a package of a person that we can't hear what Holy Spirit is saying behind them. Amen. And so I've had to learn to sometimes just be like, close my eyes and listen. What are they saying? Do I hear God on that? What is God trying to show me? What is he trying to teach me? But the wayside heart can be distracted, can be deceived, can be not paying attention, not giving heed, not really caring what the word is. You just hear it and you go your own way, do your own thing. You're not really a doer of the word. You're just hearing it. So you can be have a wayside heart. And so we don't have a wayside heart. Amen. We're in church on Sunday morning, on Mother's Day. Amen. We have fertile, good hearts in this house. But I want you to be aware of what we're dealing with in this generation, because God said, if we understand this parable, we'll understand all parables. And if we understand what this means, we'll understand what everything means and our responsibility to it. It's not only to keep our heart right, but it's to scatter the seed. What is the seed? It's the word of God. Who scatters the seed? The Son of Man and then his ministers. He gave you the ability to scatter the seed, to go and make disciples of nations, to go and make disciples of peoples, to lead people to the Lord, to shout the good news of Jesus, that he saved us, that he redeems us, that he heals us, that if I was going the wrong way, that he shakes me, wakes me up, and makes me go the right way. Like, aren't you excited that we have a God who speaks to us, who can cause us to go the right way when we've been going the wrong way? Amen. So it's sharing that good news that God has something for us. And then there's the stony ground. They hear the word, they receive it with gladness, but they have no root. So they endure only for a moment. Because why? The Bible teaches because of tribulation, because of persecution for the word's sake arises, and then they back up. Ooh, that didn't feel good. Living for Jesus is not as easy as I thought. So back it up here. This didn't work. Not doing that. That didn't feel good. I'm not taking part in it. Or in tribulation arises because the enemy comes in like a thief to steal, kill, and destroy. The Bible said he comes in like a thief, like a roaring lion, to kill, steal, and destroy. But God says, I have come to give you life. And life more abundantly. And many times we just focus on what Satan's doing. But won't you focus on what God wants to do? He wants to give you shalom. He wants to heal you. He wants to give you that joy we sang about. He wants to give you peace. And it's not based on your past. It's not based on what you've done wrong. It's not based on anything other than Jesus and his blood. Amen. The blood of Jesus. So the stony ground, you hear the word of God, you're excited about the word of God, but then, oh my, a trial comes. A testing of your faith, a tribulation. And that's the times where we need the Hannahs that contend, that pray, that press into the tribulation, that press in saying, no, I see what's happening, but I'm going to pray for God to move. You know, Hannah had a choice to be bitter at God or to contend for a baby. When you go through trials and tribulations, you have a choice. You can be bitter and angry at God, or you can press into God as a strong tower, as a safety place, and say, God, I don't know what's happening here. I don't know why everything looks like a mess, but I need you. I need you to be my strong tower. I need you to help me in this season. And when you press into God, He has a responsibility to draw near to you as you draw near to Him. Amen. So as we go towards Him, He comes towards us. But what I love about that is I can take a little bitty step and He runs towards me. All I have to say is, I'm willing to hear your voice. I'm willing to obey you, God. It may look messy, but I'm willing to obey you. I'm willing to hear you in this circumstance. The one thing I had about Job is Job was accusing God for the circumstances he was in. And many times we can accuse God for the circumstances we're in. And sometimes those attacks come out of nowhere and they're nothing to do with us. Other times they are everything to do with our sin, our disobedience, and our closing God out of our lives. So there's multiple reasons we're attacked. But the most important thing you must remember is to run to the strong tower. It's when you contend for a miracle. You contend for a blessing. You contend for God to meet you, to help you. You don't give up. So, because we don't want to be the stony ground, right? We want to be the ones that have contended when the tribulation comes, when the trials come. Don't faint in the day of adversity. Trials come. The Bible teaches us to not think it strange when trials come. You know, I quote that scripture a lot because many people get knocked off their Jesus rocker when a trial comes. They're like, wait a minute, I don't like this, right? But trials will come because we live on earth where our enemy roams like a lion. But God has given you authority and victory if you'll just run to Him and trust the Word of God. Amen? Amen. And it doesn't matter what's happened in anyone else's life. It just matters what's going on between you and Jesus. So we don't want to be the stony ground. Now, these are the ones who are sown among the thorns. They are the ones who hear the word, but the cares of the world, the deceitfulness of riches, verse 19, and the desires for other things enter and choke the word, and it becomes unfruitful. Isn't that where we're at many times? The word of God has spoken to us. But the cares of the world, we're busy, not today. I can't serve today. I can't go on that mission trip today. I can't tithe today. I've got to feed my family. We just disobey God's word because we're choked. It's choked out by the cares of the world. I can't go to church and take my children to church because I got to take them to dance team and ball games and all the things. And I can tell you, I love all those things. And our children did those things, but the house of God needs to be first. Church needs to be first. It needs to be the first place you gather. There's many in my family here today. We grew up together. We grew up in church together. We raised our children together 3 and 4 times a week. I'll never regret bringing my children to the house of God. If I didn't feel like doing it, Chris would provoke me. If he didn't feel like doing it, I'd provoke him. But we took our children to the house of God, not because we had everything together and we knew everything. It's because we needed him. We needed Jesus in our families. We needed him in our marriage. It's because we didn't have anything figured out is why we were running to the house of God. So it's not the time to care about the cares of the world and the deceitfulness of riches. Listen, God says if you seek first his kingdom, all these things will be added to you. So you don't have to chase after riches. If you'll just chase after God and you apply his biblical principles to your life, the blessings of the Lord come. That includes tithing. It includes offerings. It includes supporting one another, loving one another. It includes sowing financial seed into people's lives and missionaries. Those are important things that we must do. So we can't be caught up in the deceitfulness of riches that can choke out the word and make it unfruitful. I think about Jesus when he walked past the fig tree that wasn't bearing fruit. It had leaves. It had leaves, Pastor Delisa. It should have had fruit on it. You know, he was hungry. Have you ever walked past some people and you know they should have had fruit? And you're disappointed that they don't have fruit. And do you know what Jesus did to that tree? He cursed it. I'm telling you today, if you don't bear fruit, you're not worth the salt. We are to salt the earth. We're to bear fruit in every single season. Our trees do not die. Our leaves do not wither. We are responsible for bearing fruit for this generation. But there's nothing more disappointing to walk past a tree that should be bearing fruit and it has nothing. Nothing to offer. We care about the soul of our hearts, right? And then there's the ones that's on the good ground. They hear the word. They accept it. And they bear fruit. I want to say this. As a young woman growing up in the house of God and as a Christian, the trials and tribulations that Chris and I encountered as a new married couple, as he was opening a business, raising children, school, all the things, every trial, every tribulation that we encountered, when we pressed into God, our roots went deeper. I got more understanding of who he was. It's when we don't lean into him that we don't grow the strong roots. So I encourage you that whatever you're facing today, whatever trial, whatever tribulation, that you lean into Jesus and you say, God, show me. Teach me, train me. Where are the mothers at? Where are the fathers at? Show me how to be a mother in this season. Show me how to be a father in this season. Show me how to love my husband, love my children. Show me how to do it, because I don't know how when it doesn't look right, when it looks messy, when I'm comparing myself to other people and other families. And I thought about the cares of the world, and I thought about how there's this thing with social media and it's keeping up with everyone else, and it's what everyone else has, and it can just choke out the Spirit of God in our lives because we can't hear God. It becomes noisy. It becomes messy. The Bible says to us to repent and to be converted. But I'm telling you today, as you go before God and as you take your heart to him, ask him. He says that he knows our heart, that no other person knows our hearts but him. He also instructs us to renew a right. There's a prayer in Psalms, renew a right spirit, a clean heart in me, Lord. Oh, God. May you make my heart right before you. The most important thing is that our hearts are right before him, because we will all stand before him. It doesn't matter what a generation's saying. It doesn't matter what anyone else says. The most important thing is my heart being right before him, because then it becomes a fertile heart and it can reap benefits and bear fruit 30, 60, and 100 fold. That's incredible. The ability that has been given to us to bear fruit in this generation, to make an impact. I'm determined, Pastor, like you, to make an impact in this generation, to remove those things that have kept revival at bay, to lift the manholes of revival and deep wells. Even in this house are deep wells of revival. Out of this house has come the most two significant ministries in Shelbyville. What an incredible legacy this house has. The Christian school where my children went to school, and Father's Love where my son is on the board and my daughter-in-law's helped with it. Father's Love, who feeds and takes care of many children in the city. Important, beautiful children, ministries that are like spiritual births as of this house. But God's not finished. You know, I was reading about revivals. I want to read this to you. And every revival, the theme was always prayer. There was always prayer. So Pastor Delisa, it's always prayer. And I see and I perceive the intercessions of your heart and your prayers before the Lord. And so as I was thinking about these contending for a generation and the revivals of past and what that looked like, I just want to read a few of the basic revivals that took place and what happened in them. I'm sorry, I'm going to find it here. And then I need my glasses, but okay. The first great awakening, it was strong preaching on sin and salvation, deep conviction with weeping. That's a contending. Emphasis on new birth and personal conviction. Outdoor gatherings, renewal of the church life and evangelism, second great awakening. Was mass conversions, social reform movements, prayer becomes central. Revival spread across denominations and regions. We're contending for a region here. Kentucky's the upper room. Shelby County is where this home is at. We're contending for an area, a region. The Welsh revivals. Deep repentance, confessions of sin. Bars and jails were emptied. Crime rates dropped. Spontaneous singing and prayer in services. Services that lasted all night with no formal preaching. An emphasis on holiness and surrender to the Holy Spirit. The Azusa Street Revival. Speaking in tongues, healings, and prophecy. Birth of modern Pentecostal movement. Deep hunger for the presence of God. In every one of these, you see this deep hunger for we have to have something more in this generation. We are contending for a generation, for a nation, for a region. And then there was the Hebrides Revival, where it began through hidden prayer of two women. Entire communities came under the conviction. Fear of God swept the region. No entertainment, just brokenness and worship. Let it be named among us. The Jesus movement were young people turning to Christ. They looked different. It was different. You know what's strange about these different moves of God? Is that every time there was a move of God, there was one generation saying, that's not how we do it. And there was another generation saying, yes, I need this. I love this. It looks different sometimes than what we're used to, right? So we have to get used to that. I love change. Change is the breath of God. Change me, Lord. Change my family. Change my nation. The common threads in all the revivals were deep prayer, intercession, repentance, renewed holiness, a hunger for God's presence over formalities, a rediscovery of scripture and gospel truth, a movement led more by the Holy Spirit than by men, uncontainable spread beyond church walls. Wow. That's what we're hungry for as a people of God. Amen. We're hungry for a move of God, but it begins in us today as mothers and fathers in the body of Christ. May He renew a deep fire and passion within us today. But we're not content any longer with what we have seen, but we want more. Amen. More of Him and more in this generation. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah. I've lost track of time, but I want to speak just a couple more things. I have a couple of words that I want to give as well. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. When you read through the Word of God, you see all different mothers in the Word of God. You see those that didn't have children, those that have lost children, those that were contending for children, and how powerful God used them. I think of Deborah. It doesn't mention that Deborah had children, but how powerfully she moved and mothered a king and a nation and brought deliverance to that nation. Amen. I think about Esther, who was young, who was not a mother yet, but God used her to mother and deliver a nation. I I think about Mary Magdalene. It doesn't mention whether she had children, or maybe she did or did not later, but how that she cared for Jesus and his needs, how she loved him, how she was one of the first women at the tomb, how she proclaimed the gospel, the good news of Jesus, because he had radically set her free and delivered her. In the house of God, I believe God is doing an outpouring in this season. And what I'm telling you right now is be bold and be determined to be a part of it. Because I believe that there are incredible miracles in the house of God right now available. I believe there are signs, there are wonders, there are healings, there are captives are being set free, deliverance is happening. There is something happening because people are hungry for something more. They want something more. And we have children who need to be delivered. We have adults that need to be delivered. We have people that need the good news of the gospel that God loves you and God saves and God can redeem and cleanse you as if it never happened. Amen. He needs those. He needs you to be a natural mother, to be hospitable. I thought about Ruth and Naomi. I mean, what a beautiful story of Ruth and Naomi. She lost both of her children, but yet she still mothered a daughter-in-law. She mothered a daughter-in-law where the seed of our Jesus came from. Amen. There was a mandate on her. She said, "Don't go with me. I have nothing to offer you." But Ruth saw something different in her. She was like, "I have seen you serve your God, and I like what you have more than I like what I have seen in my past. And there's something about you that I must follow." Let something be in us that people want to follow, that they want to learn from, that they want to glean from, that they want to help in. Let there be something in us that they see that my God is different, that my God loves you, that he's forgiving, that he's merciful to every generation as we call on his name. Even though she had lost her children, lost her husband, Ruth still saw something. She saw a mother and she chased after that. Amen. I think there's beautiful stories of women in the Bible who've had children, who've not had children, who are contending for children, who are old, who are young, and all different stages and places in life. And I'm telling you today, God has a plan for you. He's not finished with you. It doesn't matter your age, if you're young or you're old, God has need of you. So I'm enlisting you today as spiritual parents in the house of God. And I'm saying sign up and ask God to create that clean heart, that fertile soil, so that you can live for him and hear the word of God. The good ground hears the word and mixes it with faith. It receives the word and it understands it. You teach yourself, you train yourself, you get understanding, you pray scriptures. And number three, you abide in the vine. You abide. John 15 talks about abiding in the vine. If you abide in the vine, you will produce fruit naturally. Amen. You won't have to work at it. You don't have to pretend it's there. It will just happen because you're spending time with Jesus. Those people you spend the most time with, you become like, right? That's good and bad, but it's true. So I encourage you today to bring your heart before the Lord. Let all bitterness go, unforgiveness go, doubt, unbelief, and all the things in our hearts that we can find on any given Sunday that we need to ask God to deal with. Amen. So that we can walk with fresh hearts for him. Now, I don't know if you have worship at the end. I have a few words I want to give, and I would love to do an altar call. And if we have worship, I would love to have that as well with us, just to play. Will you stand with me, please? Thank you, Lord, for today. Thank you for every woman in this room, every age, every stage of life. I find it beautiful. I find it encouraging. We thank you, Lord, for what you've done and what you're doing in this house and in these lives and these women. Oh, God, we thank you for it. Enlarge our capacity to receive you, God. Enlarge our capacity to hear you, God. May we hear you. May we answer like Samuel did. Here I am, Lord, speak to me. May we hear your voice, God, and not turn away and not respond with indifference. May we hear your voice and weed the hearts of our gardens the garden of our hearts. May we weed it. May we pull out the stones, the thistles, the thorns. May we uproot anything that's not beautiful to you, Lord, today. May you highlight it to us. May you show us what those places are so that we can walk in purity of spirit before you, Lord. Oh, God, I ask that you begin with us, Father. Oh, Lord, that we may awaken the wells of revival in our lives, in our families, and in this nation. May revival, may we be a part of it. May we be active in it. May we contend for it. May we pray for it. May we cry out for revival as people of God today. Lord, I thank you that the people that come into this house are hungry to see your hand in their lives. And I thank you that you never deny a hungry heart. You never deny the fervent prayers of a righteous man. So God, I thank you that we will not be denied today, that your word will not return to you void, but it will accomplish where we send it. And we speak revival in this house, revival in our lives, revival in this nation. God, we are contending for a generation that we may see you in this generation. May we see your hands of deliverance, your hands of salvation, the good news of the gospel that says you love us and you've redeemed us and you help us and you care for us. Your love, oh God, this morning, I pray that your love fill every soul that's here. May we cry out to you, God, because of your love. You loved us first, and that's why we love you, Jesus. I thank you for loving us first. I thank you, Jesus. I thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. If you have never given your heart to Jesus, or you need to recommit your heart to Jesus, today is the day of salvation. Let nothing stop you from doing it. It was the best decision that Chris and I made when we first got married. It's the best decision I make weekly. I surrender to you yet again, God. Your will, not my be done. We have a will too, right? And there's always that internal flesh and argument with the Lord. I remember when my sons were young, Maymay would and Granddad would pay them to pull the thistles out of the field. Do you remember that? They would take hose out there and pull the thistles up, and they would get, like, I don't know, 50 cents a thistle. I can't remember. Because why? It was a hay field. It was for feeding the animals. And those thistles would have reproduced weeds. So it's important that we pull them up. And when you pull them up out of your life, God pays you. God pays you. He is in debt to no one. He will outrun us. He will outpay us every single time. And if you've not given your heart to Jesus, I'm going to meet you down here. Or you need to rededicate your life to Jesus. I want you to come as we worship in this time. Don't let anything stop you. Thank you, Jesus. This is the day of salvation. Don't let anything stop you from giving him everything. Not just a little part of your heart, but surrender everything to him. Amen. I encourage you as you leave today that you think about him and you allow him to minister to your heart and heal you of your wounds and brokenness. That you allow him to be your helper. I've got Miss Susie's mic. I'm sorry, Miss Susie. Thank you. Thank you. When I was praying over the church, the Lord showed me what I heard in my spirit was, there's a scripture. I'm going to go to it, okay? I love this. It's in Revelation. And it's when he's talking to the churches. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.
It's the faithful church. In Revelations 3, what I heard in my spirit was, they have a little light. And in Revelations 3, he talks to the church and he said, you're faithful and you have little strength. You know, and I started thinking about that because some people may think little is bad, but little's not. Because God does great things with little. Little David slayed a giant, right? All he needs is a little light. Put your light out on the mountain instead of hid away. But this house has light. It has strength. When I was looking up that word, little strength, strength is dunamis. No one wants to be around a little bomb, right? Dunamis is where we get bombs from. So a little bomb can wreak a lot of havoc, right? For the kingdom of God. But this house has been faithful, and you have faithful people here. And God says you have little strength. You have dunamis power in this house to produce again more things for the kingdom of God. You can finish reading that because I love what he says. He says he opens doors that no one can shut. He shuts doors that no one can open. I know your work. See, I have set before you an open door that no one can shut for you. You have little strength, but you have kept my word and you have not denied my name. That's on this house. So let's pray over that. So Father God, I thank you for this house. I thank you, God, that you said they have dunamis power in this house, that they have the ability to produce a bomb in this generation that will contend and see the things of God come to pass, that will be in the midst of revival and an outpouring here. God, I thank you that they've been faithful to your word and faithful to your name, and they've not denied you. I thank you, God, for what you're doing in this house. I thank you it may look little, but God, I thank you that it is mighty in the spiritual kingdom. God, I thank you that you do great things with little things. And Lord, I thank you that you made you're doing great things with little things, because our dependency will be on you. Our strength will come from you. You strengthen us in our little things of our lives. God, I thank you that your strength is blowing in this house even now. There's a fresh wind coming. There's a fresh anointing coming today. There's a fresh wind of the Holy Spirit that's resurrecting dead things, dead ideas, and things that have been long past. But there's a fresh wind blowing over this house today. You will contend. You will see a move of the Holy Spirit. God, I thank you for that. I thank you for that. I thank you for that. I thank you for what you're doing here in this house. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. As I was praying for you and your wife, your pastors of the house, I saw a light just shining like a spotlight on you and your wife. How God was going to highlight you and spotlight you in this season. Because of your hearts toward the Lord and your hearts toward his people and the cries of your heart, Delisa, the prayers and the things you've been contending for as a mother in this house and as a father in this house, that God said, I'm highlighting them. There's a light on them. And a light is never covered. It's set in darkness to shine the way for others to follow, so that others will know the way to go. And so as the light is shining on you, you're going to be able to help others find the way to him. People are groping at darkness. People are saying, where is my mother? Where is my father? What can I do with this situation? How can I handle this? But God said, I've given you a light. and you're going to use it. And you do use it for His glory and His kingdom. But I see another level coming to it, a highlighting of you both, that God is going to exalt you. You know, He says when we serve Him, that He would exalt us in due time. And it's not about us, but it's about the message that God's given you. It's about His word in you. He's highlighting you because you are standing in His light. It's not about you or me. It's just about the glory of Him on us. And that He wants to shine that forth to impact a generation and a people in this region and in this season. So we have the authority to walk in the things that the Lord is showing us. I have a few words of knowledge that I want to deliver. One of my daughters sent to me, and she heard this. Listen, I believe in miracles, and I know you do too. So I'm going to give you these words of knowledge, and if they fit, I want you to come forward in faith because God heals. And every time I went somewhere with words of knowledge, it's not about me, because it's up to God, but He uses people, okay? And I'm provoking you to believe Him for this and to trust Him with these words of knowledge, okay? And so there was one word of knowledge for left knee pain, if you're having pain in your left knee. I also saw, there was also another word of knowledge for a long-term use of hearing aids, that your ears were going to be open today. That God was going to open your ears. Left knee pain, and God was going to open your ears today. I also wanted to pray for pregnancy, someone who wanted to have a baby, who wanted to have a child. Like Hannah, as she contended at the altar, God met her and gave her a baby. So as we worship, if any of these things fit, if you need to rededicate, recommit, or you just need to come pray at the altar, this is your time to do that. And I want to pray for those that we have words of knowledge over. So let's worship for just a few moments, and let's contend and pray. Amen. Amen.
Lost are saved, find their way at the sound. Your great name, all condemned, they feel no shame at the sound of Your great name. Every fear has no place.